like to acknowledge my co-authors who are on the slide, and in particular, Andrea Furell Forbes, who's here with us today. This project actually grew out of a... I'm Anne O'Connell. Thank you. I'm actually at the Ohio State University, formerly at the University of Connecticut. This project grew out of a partnership between the University of Connecticut and the Connecticut Area Health Education Centers. It really began as interest from the medical school to better understand student empathy and student experiences in interprofessional service learning activities and placements. An important long-term interest for the medical school was looking at ways to help disparities and encourage students to work with poor and underserved communities in Connecticut. As the cost of health care continues to rise, there's a growing need to increase the efficiency by which health care services are provided. And one proposed solution to this is the training of health care professionals who can work in collaborative and interprofessional teams. So why will this work? Well, if people who can work together efficiently in professional teams can learn about their own role in providing care to a patient, can learn about their interplay with others' roles in providing care to the patient, and are better able to work together towards a common goal of better treatment and outcomes for the patient. In interprofessional education, students work in teams with members from different professions. They learn multiple roles. They learn communication skills and can overcome stereotypes about others' roles. And it's becoming a more important and relevant skill for healthcare providers. And in short, it's a necessary quality to have this capacity to work effectively in an interprofessional team. Research has shown that interprofessional education can improve student learning of material, can improve patient outcomes and patient satisfaction with care. It can improve healthcare professionals' attitudes towards other healthcare professions, and it reinforces the importance of teamwork in patient care, and teamwork includes the processes of communication and collaborative goal setting, particularly an understanding of others' roles in the provision of care. During service learning activities, students work in community-based clinics. They're engaged in hands-on learning in real-life situations, and services are provided to those with limited access. In Connecticut, these placements included migrant farms and treatment of migrant farm workers, homeless, and placements were in homeless shelters, and people with lower incomes who may not qualify for Medicare or Medicaid. So during service learning activities, students really have the opportunity for authentic experiences in working within interprofessional teams. Research has shown that service learning increases attitudes towards volunteering, increases awareness of health disparities, and is reciprocal with benefits to both the recipient, being the community, as well as the provider, which can be either students or faculty. It also increases comfort and skills in working with underserved populations. And this is especially important if a student has had no prior access to or interaction with underserved populations. In terms of empathy, research has also shown that medical students tend to become less empathetic over time. This may be a result of coping with constant exposure to illness and a focus on diagnosis and treatment. And teaching empathy is an important part of preparing for patient and provider, improved communication between patient and provider. But it does need practice. It needs hands-on practice. Patient perceptions of empathy have been shown to be associated with better patient outcomes, and it's also been related to cultural competence. We did not test specifically cultural competence in our study, but it will be an important aspect of our future work. These next few slides are really just some quotes that we got from an early pilot study we did on during last summer, 2006. I actually have handouts for everyone. I didn't realize you could all download it from the website, but if anyone's interested, I do have handouts, and the references are on that handout. In terms of attitudes towards the underserved, it made students aware of healthcare disparities between the rich and the poor. in terms of reactions to helping the underserved. Students said it, you know, it's been beneficial to experience the culture of migrant farm workers. In terms of attitudes towards interprofessional work, one of the most interesting comments we got was from a nursing student. The best part of her experience, she reported, was actually being told by the doctor what he did to help the patient, and that had never happened to her before. So our guiding concerns really were, what do the students learn during these service learning placements? What types of students are attracted to some of these placements? Does this experience change the students, and if so, how? We specifically looked at their attitudes, intentions, self-efficacy, and empathy. And we were also interested in whether or not there were important discipline differences across the interprofessional teams. We had all the new incoming students in five healthcare disciplines participating in our survey. They were medical students, pharmacy students, the nursing students, dental students, and physician assistant students. So our collaborative process really started with a series of well-established partnerships in survey and research methods, also across the five disciplines and in the service learning placements. We already had strong connections among all of those, with one exception, and that was for the pharmacy students, which were new to this process of providing care in interprofessional settings. We conducted a review of the literature to identify critical constructs, and interprofessional education emphasizes collaboration and communication, so we looked at those. We also looked at knowledge, self-efficacy, attitudes, intentions, empathy, and a history of volunteering and service. We designed a logic model, really, to help guide our long-term activities, and we designed some research questions and methods as a group. So in our design, we had participation from all five disciplines. We collected three waves of data across one academic year. The surveys we used were anonymous, but we used what we call an evaluation code, which is a self-constructed code that we could ask students to use every time they completed the survey. And it's confidential. Our emphasis was on intentions and short-term change rather than actual long-term behavior change, but we are in the process of redoing this survey again this academic year. In terms of our research questions, we wanted to know what the students' baseline levels of self-efficacy, healthcare empathy, knowledge, and attitudes were. We also wanted to know what their baseline intentions were for working with the underserved and the uninsured, as well as working within interprofessional teams, and we were also interested in their intentions in working in urban versus rural settings after graduation. We looked at differences across the five healthcare discipline groups, and we this study that I'm reporting on today is really focusing just on the baseline or the pre-wave collection. This slide here shows our overall method, so what I'm presenting on today is the 499 students that we surveyed during the first wave of data collection. We had three waves of data. At the same time, we also had some smaller scale surveys that we used at the placements. I'm not going to talk about those today. In terms of the measures, I'll just not spend a lot of time on this because the information's on the slide and the references are also in our handout. We had a 1-to-5-point scale used for most of the survey items, and they were averaged to form average measures of knowledge and attitudes and self-efficacy. In terms of empathy, for the pre-wave data collection, the first wave of data collection, we used the student's version of Jefferson's scale of physician empathy. In the mid and the post, we used the physician's version of that empathy scale. And we used five separate items to measure intentions for working in a rural versus urban healthcare setting after graduation, and willingness to work with underserved or patients who cannot pay, or working in interprofessional teams. This slide really tells us a little bit about the distribution between programs in baseline background in volunteering. So overall, about 86 or 87% of students had volunteered in some capacity, but of those, only about 7% had volunteered in the service learning placements that were studied as part of this academic year. So they were well experienced in volunteering, probably with one exception, and that was for pharmacy, which had the greatest number of students who had not volunteered in any capacity in the past. These would have also included volunteering at an early literacy setting or in a school. It was any background in volunteering. This slide here tells us a little bit about the descriptives and the baseline measures for the four constructs we were interested in. If you recall, one is actually a greater level of the element of the construct being measured. So the lower, from 1 to 5, the lower score is actually better. And this breaks down those means actually by program. So you can see really that the medical students had, you know, the weakest knowledge. Okay, they have the highest score, so it's actually reversed. Had the weakest knowledge self-report. And in terms of attitudes, the nursing students had the weaker attitudes. These are very small differences, but I'm just pointing out some visual differences. In terms of self-efficacy, the medical students and the dental students felt more self-efficacy towards communicating with members of an interprofessional team. And in terms of empathy, the pharmacy students were the least empathetic. The empathy scale is the one that has the highest score being most empathetic, and the others are reversed. In terms of the five dependent variables or outcomes, working in a rural versus urban environment, there were really no significant differences across those univariate means. But providing services to those who can't pay, working with the underserved, or working in interprofessional teams, the pharmacy students again came out as being weakest in that area. So we entered those four variables then as a block in regression analyses to try and understand what contributed most to the intention items. We then used in a second block dummy codes for the groups, so we were looking at group differences, and then we looked at interactions between the two. None of the interactions are statistically significant, so they're not discussed here. In terms of the results, we found that a positive attitude towards working in interprofessional teams does predict intention to work in a rural environment. This is across all groups. And self-efficacy and empathy are related to intentions to work in urban environments when we're not settling out for group differences. But when group membership is included, the difference between pharmacy and the medical students really drives the results, with pharmacy students less likely to report wanting to work in an urban environment. In terms of working with those who can't pay, after controlling for all the covariates, significant group differences did still exist, and the largest difference again was between the pharmacy and the medical students. In terms of working with the underserved, after controlling for all the covariates, there were differences between the pharmacy and the medical students, and between the physician assistants and the medical students. And finally, with intentions to work in interprofessional teams, we found no group differences. But attitudes towards working in interprofessional teams, self-efficacy for communicating with others in an interprofessional team, and empathy did predict intentions to work in interprofessional teams in the future. So our conclusions are that the pharmacy students really may differ from the rest of the health disciplines in this study due to their lack of knowledge or experience in working in these placement settings, and one thing that we hope to see over time is an improvement in the attitudes for the pharmacy students. We found that attitudes, knowledge, and self-efficacy, as well as empathy, were related to students' self-reported intentions, and training and experiences that are designed to improve these constructs can really help to lead to greater intentions to work with underserved populations. And our future work is designed to help tease out some of those long-term associations. So overall, we think that these experiences of participating in service learning and interprofessional education activities may prove to be efficacious in leading to increases in the number of healthcare professionals coming into practice who are both experienced and willing to work with underserved populations in interprofessional teams, which will fill growing needs in healthcare. Thank you, and we welcome any comments or suggestions.